Burning cars are too damn close to home.
I know.
Too close by far.
Can I let go of the punch bag yet?
The rumble in Highgate was Frances kickboxing, part of her summer fitness regime and an outlet for pent-up frustration, usually caused by me.
You play the amateur sleuth to your heart's content. Just don't bring your hobby home with you.
Oh. Jody's car wasn't actually burning in your sitting room.
Just outside my house.
Jody and I were filming The Wreathing, a low-budget popcorn movie with straight-to-DVD stamped all over it.
I'm only trying to help the girl. Imagine if someone was out to harm our daughter.
Elliot Roth, the film's producer, had been Jody's lover, only Elliot had recently died, leaving Jody pregnant and facing a series of near-fatal incidents.
You'll never change. It's like living with a cat. Look how much I love you, Frances. Ooh, and here's a wounded frog to prove it.
With hindsight, maybe I should have asked Frances before inviting Jody to stay.
There you go, champ. You know, when you're already going it, there's a hint of Ricky the Hit Manhattan.
Watch it.
In a good way. Handy with your fists, yet feminine.
I've still got the gloves on.
And it's strangely arousing.
Oh, you can forget that.
Come on, Frances. I didn't torch her damn car. It was an accident. You heard the fireman. It was a fuel leak.
Happens all the time.
Well, not all the time, but it happens, apparently, occasionally.
And apparently this just happens to be one of those occasions. Oh, good, she's playing Duffy again. It's got to be, 5 minutes since I last heard Sirius?
If you're so sure her car wasn't an accident, why were you so dismissive when I told you Nick lied about where he was the night his father died?
I said there was no reason Nick shouldn't lie to you because you're a jobbing actor, not Inspector Morse.
Nick was Elliot's son, who'd now taken over Elliot Roth Film and Television.
Jody can't stand him.
Well, I can't stand lots of people, but I don't accuse him of murder. What's Nick's motive? He stood to inherit a fortune on his father's death.
You're forgetting the revised will that favours Jody and the baby.
Well, either way, he was hardly going to be penniless.
People can do extreme things when money's involved.
Like you know.
Okay, humour me. One day Nick stands to inherit a fortune. Next day, he discovers everything split three ways between him, his dad's mistress, and her baby. He gets the red mist...
and has Jody's car torched. Subtle.
People aren't subtle in the heat of the moment, providing it looked like an accident and couldn't be traced back to him. And don't forget the tripwire across her stairs.
That could have been some mad stalker obsessed with his favourite glamour model. She's a sort of celeb who attracts that kind of thing. And there's another flaw in your theory.
What?
Elliot's friends only gave Jody the revised will here last night, so...
How could Nick know it existed? Damn, you're hot today.
And now I need a shower.
How about I scrub you back, and then we could carry on knocking ideas around? I have my best thoughts in bed.
Well, that's debatable. Mm. You better get that.
What do you want, Morris?
Ah, my favourite walking disaster zone. Dr. Mayhew tells me he was called out to your place last night.
Reassuring to hear he still doesn't understand the concepts of discretion and patient confidentiality.
There's nothing discreet about burning cars.
The production company are paranoid, so they sent Mayhew to give Jody an insurance checkup.
Never a dull moment with Paris. All non-stop action.
Speaking of non-stop action, we're shooting the last scenes of The Wreathing this week, so if there's any work on the horizon...
You're never far from my thoughts, Charles. Be good. Oh, and try not to break any bones.
Does your driver have to sit out there hooting like a yob?
Harry is a yob.
Jody, car's here.
Takes one to know one.
With a head like a bullet and a spider's web tattooed on his neck, Harry had been a boxer and a bouncer, but he'd gone down in the world, ferrying actors around for ERF&T.
Oh, Clarkson's Drive Time. Classics, good album this. For my money, it's a classic driving classic CD.
Yeah?
No contest, beats the others hands down.
I hate all this old rock.
Yeah, amazing when you think about it, all that infighting and the Mac still turned out all them classics.
Yeah, I suppose.
Oh, classic.
You okay, Jim?
Considering I could have been blown across North London last night.
Oh, Eagles are my all-time favourite band of all time, no contest.
Jody, I've been thinking about the new will Elliot made.
What about it?
Hence the plates.
Plates?
Number plates. Desk one. Desperado?
Desperado, yeah, of course.
Yeah, it cost me a wage, but it was the closest I could get.
I've no idea what you two are going on about.
You had to be there.
This new will, do you think Nick could have found out about it before you did?
How?
I was just wondering.
Oh, just listen to these production values, Charlie. Classic. Absolutely classic. Lose your mind.
They call us mutants and freaks, but the time has come for dark to rise against light. Go forth from this place, my children, and prepare for war.
Not so fast, Sherbeck.
Slayer!
Miss Slayer to you, and the party's over, you flying rodent.
And cut! Thank you very much, everyone. That's lunch.
My low-status dressing room overlooked the car park, but was convenient for a pre-prandial quadruple or two. While I poured a large Bell's, I became aware of raised voices outside my window. Nick was standing by his TVR, while Dr. Mayhew, GP to the stars, harangued him from the driver's seat of his Bentley.
I must be mad to listen to you.
Don't raise your voice at me.
I've known some fools in my time.
Oh, don't come the high and mighty.
Settle up and we'll call it a day.
You don't think I'm carrying it around with me, do you?
Don't play games with me, Nicholas.
While Mayhew screamed out of the car park, Nick headed into the building. So I raced out of my room in time to...
Oh, sorry!
Mind where you're going!
Hi, Nick! I'm always turning up like a bad penny, whatever a bad penny is. I've never really understood that expression.
I've got to get to a meeting.
Of course, yeah. By the way, thanks for sending Dr. Mayhew out when Jodie's car caught fire.
I was told about the incident, but I was out of town at the time. It was nothing to do with me.
The fire or sending Mayhew?
Sending Mayhew.
Not a flicker of a smile. Nick didn't do jokes.
I had family business to attend to.
It's a difficult time. There's always so much to do when a close relative dies.
Yes, well, I'm still very much in shock.
It sounds trite, but there's never a right time to die.
How do you mean?
Suddenly alert, Nick was staring me in the eye as if he was searching for something.
You know, if someone's had a long illness, at least you have time to get used to the idea. But when a loved one dies suddenly, then things get said. Look, I know it's none of my business, but if you and Jodie could just...
Oh, I get it. She put you up to this.
No.
She really is a scheming little...
Honestly, Nick, she hasn't.
You can tell her from me. She'd better hire a damn good lawyer if she's thinking of contesting my father's will.
So Nick clearly didn't know about the new will. Maybe I should have kept my mouth shut, but he was going to find out about it soon enough.
Jodie hasn't got any intention of contesting the will.
Oh. Well, good.
She doesn't need to, since the revised one turned up.
Whatever Nick had been searching for in my eyes, he found something he hadn't bargained for.
What's it, Charlie? Oh, hello, Mr. Ruff.
Where have you been, Harry?
Do you need me?
Just come on. I'm running late.
And Nick was gone with his customary lack of grace, dragging Harry in his wake. My head was full of questions, but my stomach was empty. So I made my way to the location caterers who provided freshly cooked food and every day looked at me with an expression of pained resignation as I ordered the unhealthy option.
All day Transylvanian breakfast, please, and don't stint on the Carpathian black pudding. We vampires need to keep up our intake of blood products.
All right, Charles.
Multitasker to the tips of my talons, I thought I'd give my hard-working agent a call while I ate.
Oh, can't you say I'm at lunch, Pixie?
I can hear you, Morris.
Your ears must have been burning, Charles. I was just talking about you.
Who to, Scorsese?
Dr. Mayhew.
Oh, he's a busy little bee. I saw him at the studio not long ago.
He's always been a whiz kid.
Hardly a kid.
He's in great demand throughout the industry. That's why he's taking a sabbatical.
Really? When?
Almost immediately. He's off to Sydney.
The whiz kid of Oz.
We really must find an outlet for your wit. Wonder if I could get you on quote-unquote... Now, before my sushi gets warm, what do you want?
I've been talking to Nick Roth.
That must have been stimulating.
What was the caveat in Elliot's will?
Can't you leave the dead alone and concentrate on the living, especially earning one?
I've got you to do that for me.
He gifted everything to Nick, so there'd be minimal death duties, providing Elliot died more than 7 years after making the gift.
Lucky for Nick, he didn't die a week earlier.
Ironic, really.
Why?
He was only 62, Charles. How old are you?
Says 49 in Spotlight.
When Elliot made that gift, he probably thought it was just a shrewd business move to offload some assets and avoid tax. No one, least of all Elliot, would have thought he'd actually die so young. There's a lesson for us all. Seize the moment, Charles.
So I seized the moment and asked if there was any more work in the offing.
Just an availability.
For what?
I don't want to get your hopes up.
My hopes have been dashed more times than you've had dinner at the Woolsey. Now stop being so coy and give me a clue.
It would mean going up north, but I'll just say one word. Potter.
I feel good.
Potter, Francis. Potter. Yeah.
Don't count your chickens, Charles.
Just pass me a glass.
No, one bottle's enough for me.
Not for me.
We've been here before. Remember the Woody Allen film?
Of course I remember it. I was in it.
Under a sheet in a morgue.
This could be the pension plan I never had.
You're doing it already.
What?
Fantasizing.
Oh, what's life without fantasy?
Reality.
I've always thought reality was highly overrated.
I don't want to see you disappointed again.
I've been disappointed before.
And I've had to pick up the pieces.
It's only cheap fizz. I'll buy the expensive stuff if I get the part. If... Did you hear that? Cheers. I'm a bit tall for a house elf, but I reckon I'd make a good Death Eater.
Please, Charles.
Joke. If it did come off, though...
Charles!
If it came off, do you think the extra money and security might make a difference?
To what?
Us.
We're sharing a room.
I want to share everything with you. And who knows what's around the corner? Elliot Roth thought he'd have another few decades to enjoy himself, and look what happened to him.
You haven't got a young actress up the duff.
I'm just saying, life's short, some shorter than others, and we ought to seize the moment.
I'd like more time before I seize anything.
Mm. You hungry?
I'm not up to one of your concoctions. I've got some pizzas in the freezer.
After dinner, I took a bottle of scotch and a packet of fags out to the garden and tried to make sense of a few things. For instance, what had been going on between Dr. Mayhew and Nick in the car park? Then there was Warren Kirkby, who tried to blackmail Jodie and ended up dead in woodland not far from Elliot's country house. Elliot had been in line for an OBE, so he had most to gain from Kirkby's death, but why harm Jodie? I decided to call Elspeth, Roth's one-time PA, and we arranged to meet next day for coffee at the Wellcome Institute Library.
I didn't know this place was here.
Great, isn't it? They've got a wonderful collection on death and disease, and the brownies are to die for. Try some.
For me, patisserie doesn't go with illustrations of syphilis.
Please yourself. Since Nick fired me, I'm here every day researching my OU degree.
What's your subject?
Social and cultural history of British funeral rites. We've become so squeamish since the 20th century, but I find it fascinating the way people have dealt with death historically.
In your expert opinion, how do you think Nick's dealing with it?
Oh, who knows? He and Elliot always had a volatile relationship.
Had it been more volatile than usual in the weeks preceding Elliot's death?
They were always arguing about something.
Work?
Work, relationships.
What did Nick think about Elliot and Jodie?
Just another gold-digging, publicity-seeking wannabe on the make.
Is that what he thought or what you think?
No comment.
I had the feeling that no woman would have been good enough for the man Elspeth quietly loved. Especially not a showbiz minx like Jodie Rix.
Nick's the bottled-up type, but I did think he was very edgy the past few weeks.
Edgy?
Preoccupied. He had a distracted look when I spoke to him, like he wasn't really listening.
Any idea why?
Poor, he doesn't give much away, and his interpersonal skills leave a lot to be desired. There's a black hole where a human should be.
Don't sit on the fence. Say what you think.
He's a devious, controlling, bullying, charisma-free zone. Feel free to stop me and buy one.
Murderer?
Oh, you're not serious. You are serious.
Jodie thinks he killed Elliot.
I'm shocked.
That Nick could be a killer?
That Jodie thinks.
Elspeth.
If I thought that was true, believe me, I'd be first in line to shop him. Look, Charles, I don't know what qualities a person needs to commit murder, but whatever they are, that little schmo hasn't got them.
It wasn't exactly a ringing character endorsement, but it was as close as Elspeth was going to come to one. I needed to think, and I needed a drink. So I wandered into the Lighthouse, the sort of pub the Bloomsbury group met in to swap acid criticisms and down tequila slammers.
What can I get you?
A large Vanessa on the rocks.
You what?
A double Bells.
One double Bells.
And a bar menu, please.
All on the board, mate.
Oh, right. Oh, my God. I'll have a Virginia Woolf burger.
Chips for that.
And a Bon Mo on the side.
Eh?
I'll be on the banquette in the corner.
Hello?
It's me.
Sorry, who?
Me.
I can't...
Charles.
Hang on. Can you turn the music down, please, Jodie? Sorry, I couldn't hear for Duffy.
She's growing on me.
Jodie or Duffy?
Duffy.
Good, because Jodie's driving me nuts. How much longer, Charles?
Not much, I promise. I've just been chatting to Elliot's PA, who clearly had a thing for him and disapproved of Jodie.
I'm warming to this woman.
I hadn't considered it before, but you don't think she might have been behind all Jodie's accidents?
What? Older woman spurned in love decides to wreak revenge on young mistress?
Something like that. Maybe she also knew about the blackmail and killed Warren Kirkby too.
It'd be plausible in a fiction. What's she like in real life?
Oh, don't confuse me with real life. The neighbours of killers are always saying he was a nice chap, kept himself to himself.
Anyway, if she loved Elliot, why would she kill him?
If I can't have him, nobody has him.
Assuming he was murdered in the first place. Thing is, does she strike you as the sort of woman who'd tie a tripwire across a pregnant girl's stairs or torture a car?
One wolf burger and chips.
Francis had a way of scotching my theories and sending me back to the drawing board, or in this case, the Guardian cryptic, which I finished in record time and rewarded myself with another couple of doubles before hitting the Northern Line. What the hell is that?
Oh my God, Francis, hang on!
Oh, thank God you're back.
Who did this?
A couple of thugs.
What thugs?
Oh, funnily enough, we didn't swap names, but they've got Jodie.
What? When did this happen?
Not long. We need to call the police.
The police, yeah. I need to know what to tell them.
I got back from the shops and there was a big murk in my space and I had a load of shopping, so...
Yeah, tell me what you bought later.
As I opened the front door, I heard shouting, then this yob appears from the kitchen, so I laid into him.
You did what?
It was an impulse.
It was insane.
It's completely different from the punch bag.
No kidding. You could have been killed.
Caught him a good uppercut to the chin, then his mate grabbed me and they tied me up and bundled Jodie into the back of the Merc.
You didn't get a look at either of them.
Well, they wore masks and it all happened too fast. One had a tattoo. The one I hit, like a spider's web.
Oh, no. The car. Did you get the number?
When I was trying to park, I noticed it was one of those stupid ones with a 5 pretending to be an S.
DE5P1.
I think it was.
DES1. I need your car.
You're drunk.
It's an emergency.
You're not insured.
Francis.
I'll drive.
No. Absolutely not. No.
I called the police, gave them a colourful description of Harry and his car, and prayed they'd drive as fast as Francis was doing.
You're who you're going to get us killed!
You're a fine one to talk.
Oh.
Oh, shut up!
Where's all this aggression come from?
Living with you.
Your body's producing too much testosterone. I blame the kickboxing. You're becoming a man.
One of us has to.
I just want to get to Streatley alive.
You really think they'll drive Jodie all the way out here?
No. There's already been one body dumped near here. A second, especially someone so strongly linked to Elliot, would be asking for trouble.
Then why are we going?
The TBR in the car park.
Is that like the elephant in the room?
Why did Nick need Harry to drive him to a meeting when he had his own car sitting outside?
He had papers to read? He didn't want the stress of driving?
Or he didn't need a driver at all, but wanted an excuse to talk to him about a kidnapping.
I thought we agreed. Nick had no motive to kill his father and no reason to hurt Jodie unless he knew about the revised will.
He does. I told him today.
What?
He was going to find out soon enough. That's the turnoff.
Oh, thanks for the warning.
We parked in a nearby lane and approached the house on foot.
Couldn't he afford something a bit more ostentatious, say the Doge's palace?
It's not called show business for nothing. Ah.
What?
Parked on the drive.
Cars.
Nick's TVR and a Bentley Continental.
You never used to be a petrol head.
I'm not, but all roads seem to lead to Harley Street.
So, what now?
If I said wait here while I see if I can get in through the garage, would you take any notice?
No.
We slipped round the side and into a garage the size of an average family house.
The only way into the house is through the ventilation window. Up there.
It's tiny.
It's fine. Now, don't jump down my throat, but I want you to wait for me here, and if I'm not back in 10 minutes, call the police.
You'll never get through there.
I did it with Miles. Just give me a leg up.
If you say so. One, two, three. Yep. Maybe you put on weight.
Just push.
There's some engine oil out here. Should I grease you up?
Oh, shut up. Push.
I'm having flashbacks to childbirth.
In the pitch dark, I found myself back in the utility room, sprawled across the top of a large chest freezer.
You okay in there?
I've twisted my bloody ankle again. I'm too old for this. I'm well past my best buy.
Then I had a flashbulb memory of being here, tripping over a pile of defrosting pizza boxes, Miles joking about ready meals being bad for you.
I'm thinking.
I could feel the neurons firing, trying to make links. What I needed was a scotch, a cigarette, and a quiet place to think. But it wasn't to be.
You do know this is private property.
I don't suppose you'd believe me if I blamed it on a cheap sat-nav.
Nick led me through to what Hello would call a sumptuous sitting room. Mayhew was half submerged in a deep armchair, looking agitated and clutching a leather attaché case.
Hello, Doc. As you're here, can you take a look at my ankle?
Shut up! What's he doing here? I can't decide if it's trespass or breaking and entering.
At least it's not murder, or accessory to murder.
Murder? You said Elliot was dead when you found him.
Shut up! Another flashbulb went off.
Aha. You falsified the death certificate.
I had to do it.
Shut up! He was going to report me to the BMA.
I said shut up!
It looked like a massive fatal stroke. There were no signs of a struggle, no signs of a...
There was no struggle, you idiot! I came home and found him slumped on the sofa.
He nodded towards the sofa I was sitting on and a shiver ran down my spine. Another flashbulb popped.
You haven't got anything to eat, have you? Sandwich, toast... Frozen pizza.
I want you to know that I had nothing to do with freezing Elliot's body. That was down to his sicko son.
After years of signing dodgy showbiz insurance forms, he persuaded you to sign a death certificate stating that Elliot Roth died 2 weeks later than he actually did so that he could avoid paying death duties.
I swear I had no idea that he'd killed his own father.
I didn't.
No, I don't think he did. Up to that point, he was just an immoral fraudster.
You're pushing your luck, Parrish.
So were you when you tried to kill Jodie.
You tried to kill a pregnant woman.
He thought she was going to contest his birthright.
I just tried to scare the little gold digger off.
A tripwire across the stairs, torching her car and now kidnapping.
What?
I let Nick know that Elliot had drawn up a new will favouring Jodie and the baby. I didn't think he would panic and kidnap.
Your father wasn't already dead. This would kill him.
Let's just hope the police find her before your thugs do something really stupid.
So if she's still alive, no one's actually been murdered?
I looked at Nick, who stared back, poker-faced, wondering if I had a trump card, daring me to turn it over.
Okay, you know what? You can keep your money. I don't know what's going on here, and I don't want to. But I'm out of here, and I hope never to see either of you as long as I live.
Give my regards to Sydney Harbour.
Nick crossed to a mock Louis Cairns cocktail cabinet.
Scotch?
Not for me.
Charles Parris refuses a drink.
I backed away towards the open door.
I think I'll make a move before the police get here.
I don't think so.
He was pointing a stubby little pistol at my chest.
What am I going to do with you, Charles?
I'll be available for work soon.
You've made things very awkward for me.
You did that yourself, and I bet a ballistics test would match that gun with the bullet they found in Kirkby's head.
Can't resist the last word. Now I'm going to have to invent a story about you breaking into a house of mourning. And in my vulnerable state, I panicked and shot you.
Like you shot Warren Kirkby?
Don't waste your tears on that scum. It was his blackmail brought on my father's stroke. Kirkby doorstepped me here the night I found Elliot. He refused to go till he'd seen him.
But you'd already moved the body to the freezer.
Mayhew was on his way from London. I had panicked.
Is that why you didn't dump the body further away?
I had to get back and clean up before Mayhew got here.
It's all in the timing. If Elliot died 2 weeks later, your legacy would have been safe. If Kirkby hadn't turned up when he did, he'd still be alive.
And your timing's led to this. And the clock's just run out. Now turn round and walk slowly out to the hall.
I told Francis 10 minutes. Where were the police?
Just keep going, and no sudden moves.
Who found Kirkby's body?
A jogger.
As I crossed into the faux baronial hall, I had a bad sense of foreboding.
Get away from my husband! Get the gun!
I've got it. It's okay. I think that's enough, Francis. Francis, I think he's unconscious.
Oh my God, Charles. Charles. Thank you so much. And Francis. I was like, this is it. This is the end. And then there was police all over Harry, and if you hadn't have phoned them, I don't even want to go there.
At least you and the baby are safe.
And first thing tomorrow, I'll be out of your hair.
We'll miss you and your music, won't we, Chance?
Now it's all over, I feel like my life's really turned a corner. Especially now Morris has got me into the new Bond movie. Are you all right, Charles?
He's had a nasty shock.
Mayhew was picked up at Heathrow boarding a flight to Sydney. A few days later, they called the final cut on the reading, and Jodie moved back to her place, leaving me and Francis alone in the house.
Come on, Charles. Five more.
Not unless you want to see my lungs on the carpet.
Okay, quick water break.
I'd rather have scotch.
You'll have water.
I'll have water. What about those moves you used on Nick? Can't you show me a few of those?
Okay, stand up. It's not about strength.
No.
It's about balance.
Wow.
And I can keep you pinned down here as long as I like.
Yeah, I am. I am well and truly pinned.
What are you doing, Charles?
I'm trying to make good my escape. What are you doing?
Letting you.
I think I'm going to have to put in a lot more time at this.
Well, you know what they say. Use it or lose it. Don't.
Hi, Morris. Hang on.
You'll never change.
Don't go.
You carry on. Business as usual.
Sorry if it's a bad time. It's good news on the Potter job.
Oh, yes!
They do want you up there tomorrow, and you'll be away 6 weeks.
No probs. Where am I going?
Cumbria, I'm afraid.
For a gig like this, they could film it in Dagenham, for all I care.
Film?
In the same moment, my dreams were shattered, and my fantasy pension plan vanished faster than a small high street bank. It was Potter, all right. Beatrix Potter, a groundbreaking Arts Council adaptation of the tale of Squirrel Nutkin. But it was work, and hey, it was the lead.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight. I got the feeling there's something right.
In Cast in Order of Disappearance, Charles Paris was played by Bill Nighy, Jodie by Martine McCutcheon, and Francis by Suzanne Burden. Morris was John Glover, Nick Rhys Jennings, Dr. Mayhew Stephen Hogan, and Elspeth Kate Layden. Cast in Order of Disappearance was written by Jeremy Front and based on the novel by Simon Brett. The director was Sally Evans.